XEO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. Hamas is warning the Israeli government's plan to seize control of Gaza City would amount to, quote, sacrificing the hostages still being held in Gaza. This man in Tel Aviv is weighing in.
Basically, I think it's a death sentence to hold the hostages that are still being held there. I think that we have to bring all the hostages back home safely.
No word of a deal or consequences as President Trump's deadline for Russia to reach a ceasefire with Ukraine arrives. National security contributor Samantha Vinograd.
It will be telling to see if President Trump continues with his deadline for Russia to agree to a ceasefire or if he just extends that indefinitely until there's a summit.
New wildfires burned almost 5,000 acres north of Los Angeles. This man in Castaic among thousands who've been forced from their homes.
20, 30 animals that we left behind that we couldn't take out. It's scary because we don't know what happened to them and what's going to be when we get back.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. While the Wisconsin DNR has allowed the week-long air quality advisory to expire for now, it doesn't quite mean we're all in the clear. The Canadian wildfires remain ongoing, and Craig Karnecki with Wisconsin DNR Air Management said there are a lot of factors that keep the flames burning. That includes unseasonably warm temperatures, a lack of snow over the winter, and extended drought conditions. Meanwhile, a Wisconsin lawmaker has filed an official complaint over wildfire smoke from Canada. Joanne Krulots reports.
A Wisconsin lawmaker has filed an official complaint over wildfire smoke from Canada. Tomahawk Republican Representative Calvin Callahan, along with Republican lawmakers from Iowa, Minnesota, and North Dakota, submitted the letter to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. In a statement, Callahan says Canada needs to face real consequences if it fails to get wildfires under control. The letter calls for an investigation into the country's wildfire management practices and for potential remedies under the international law. The lawmakers argue Canada's failure to contain the fires has harmed the quality of life of more than 20 million Americans in the Midwest. They're requesting response within 30 days from the EPA.
The first week of August is World Breastfeeding Week. We're well aware of the benefits for babies, but proponents at UW Health Kids say there's still a need for more awareness and support for breastfeeding mothers. Many postpartum moms face mental health challenges, such as stress, anxiety, and depression, that can impact lactation ability. There's limited access to experts and education. Some cities are working to improve access and awareness. In Wisconsin Rapids, Mayor Matt Zacher has proclaimed the entire month of August National Breastfeeding Month. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
The Packers preseason underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from training camp in Green Bay, where the Packers host the Jets tomorrow night in their first preseason game. Aaron Mosby made the team last year as a linebacker. Does he feel pressure to make the cut this year?
It's always pressure when you're trying to make a 53-man roster. That's just anyone in the league. It can go for anyone. So it's a little bit of pressure, but at the end of the day, you know, it's football. We've been playing this since we were little kids. So you just go out there, you know, try to have fun with it. Try to do your best and try to make a splash play here and there.
College football. The Badgers hold their final practice at UW-Platteville Saturday night before moving back to Madison. Baseball. The Brewers and the Mets in Milwaukee. First baseman Andrew Vaughn continues to hit home runs every series.
Vaughn is unbelievable. Three times on base. One time he just circled the bases. He's been special both offensively, defensively. Vaughn, Collins, and Perkins, they're the three that you got to look at. And Sal, those are great performances by those four.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny, hot, and humid today. We'll get to right around 90 for a high, but that heat index is going to be in the upper 90s and some places into the triple digits. Tonight, a few scattered thunderstorms, lows in the low to mid-70s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the upper 80s to low 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife. But she says, I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. The weekend is almost here. We'll look at weekend activities across the state of Wisconsin and look at the news and the weird and wacky with Peter Rapine of EBOM's World. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Happy Friday. It is August 8th, 2025, 7:06. Nice to have you here back up north as we head into a weekend here on these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is standing by. We're going to come to him a little early to talk about a federal court decision this week about the dispute over road access on the Lac du Flambeau Reservation by non-tribal members who own property within the reservation's boundaries. And I'll compare my interpretation of it to Jim's. One of us went to law school. The other just yodels on the radio, but we'll see what we say about that. And then Jim will be back with Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob as we do more of our week in review, some of the headlines of the week. That's all coming up. Dr. Kristen Lyerly in our next hour. And, of course, we'll have sports as well with Mike Clemens. But first, it is time for the forecast heading into the weekend. Parker Olson is here from Madison Studio A2 as we welcome in meteorologist Brittany Merlot, where I thought, well, maybe for a short period here, we could open up the windows because it's going to be really hot later today. Can we open them up for a bit? No, we can't. The humidity is still no bueno, shall we say.
Yeah,
it is
no bueno.
Sticky.
It is.
And we got that. So I imagine the thunder can't be far behind.
No, it's not. We've got a lot going on here as we head into the weekend. So pay attention if you had any outdoor plans because you're going to want to listen up. So temperatures right now, 63 degrees is the coolest up in Eagle River. It's about 73 degrees in the big cities, Milwaukee, Madison area. We've got some fog far north and east by the Great Lakes. We've got a low pressure system right now building in North Dakota. It's already dragged the warm front, right? We felt that yesterday. A lot of us did reach those low 90s, and it's going to be very sunny today and still humid, very humid. Dew points in the mid 60s to low 70s. Heat advisories out already for Green Bay, Oshkosh, Shawano area up in those woods, Ashland, Hayward, even over to Siren as well. You're going to see some of the warmest temperatures in the state. Low 90s will be creeping in, and the humidity paired with that means it's going to be feeling more like 100 degrees. Yesterday, our heat index felt about the mid-90s or so, so this is going to get even warmer as we head into this afternoon, and you know, with that low-pressure system just sitting out there in the batter's box, it's headed here towards us. So what we're going to see is storms starting this afternoon, probably around 3 o'clock, right towards Superior, Hayward, into the Ashland area, where you're actually in a slight risk for them to be strong to severe. Biggest threats are going to be some high damaging wind gusts, hail, and also some heavy downpours. A quick 1 to 2 inches is possible. So we're looking at first round this afternoon, then another round up there, still far north, overnight, probably around 3 a.m., that could linger into the morning. And then this front is going to start to shift south. It is going to be headed towards the La Crosse, Wausau area by tomorrow morning, probably around 9 a.m. And it is going to be hitting hard. We are in a slight risk, the whole central Wisconsin area from across to Wausau, to Green Bay, down to Sheboygan, and over to Madison. This is tomorrow afternoon. Those high damaging winds, also some heavy, heavy rain and hail is possible as we go through the morning. They should start to ease up a little bit at night, but more and more rounds start to come through because this front wants to stall. Yep, park itself right over southeastern Wisconsin, where we could see rounds of rain, heavy, heavy rain at times, all the way through Tuesday. So this could start Saturday, tomorrow afternoon, all the way through Tuesday, potentially. So we're definitely looking at a flooding risk in the south and eastern parts of the state, where totals could get up to 4-5 inches by the time this kicks all out of here. So as we go into the weekend, be careful out there. A lot of things going on. The temperatures still do stay warm and muggy, even as we go into the weekend and into next week. We're still looking at low to mid 80s. It's still going to be feeling close to near 90 degrees. So very summery conditions. And of course, stormy. So stay weather savvy.
And of course, if you want to get your mowing done, if you're going to get that lawn done, today would be it. Doesn't matter if it's hot or not. Just get it done. Which takes us to Robin Tigerton, who says, good morning, sunshine with light fog, 66 degrees. The corn sweat is in full effect. He says, yesterday I got 4 yards mowed in Tigerton, 2 yards in the rural areas today, and we'll get it done early before it gets hot. He says, I can then sit back and watch the Packers game tomorrow night for the football preseason. And notes that, you know, it is football preseason where you go from extreme heat to extreme cold, from tornadoes to blizzards, all between the preseason and the Super Bowl. And channeling his inner Greg and Brittany, he says, yeah, I'm drinking lots of water and Gatorade. And he also says, yeah, we do need rain, just not all at once. And Tony asking, Brittany, what are you doing to Ashland? What? I don't know. Are you doing something to Ashland, or is it just the weather that you're sending to Ashland?
The weather that I'm actually, it's not going to be too bad in Ashland. I mean, today is the worst day of it all. And then honestly, the rest of the weekend, you're looking dry. That's one of the best places to be all weekend.
It's always good to be way up north. Right. Couldn't agree more. Thank you, Brittany. Talk to you a little bit later. All right. Hey, sign up for our daily newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. There's an article in there today about the Wisconsin State Fair being one of the best state fairs in the country in a new USA Today ranking. So there's that. There's one about different types of hiking trails in Wisconsin for whatever type of hiker you are. Wherever you are on the scale, there's a place that's there for you. And there's an article about the dangers to rural health care in Wisconsin and how it's a double whammy with the lack of affordable housing stock in rural Wisconsin. So all of that through our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Also on the website right now, you can see a story that I just posted there that features a video clip that we were able to run before anybody else. It went up this morning, and it's all about rural health care facing a death spiral, in the words of former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, in an interview with a doctor from TOMA, talking to Dr. Jill McMullen, a family practice doc there, about what the Medicaid cuts that were supported by Congressman Derek Van Orden will mean to people in rural Wisconsin, especially the 3rd Congressional District. So head over to our Instagram and look at an excerpt from the interview or read all about it on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Put in your email address, sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter as well, which will be featuring that and a lot of the other political headlines you might have missed of the past week. One of those just might include a court decision that was handed down this week by a federal judge who basically ruled against the Lac des Flambeaux tribe in its years-long fight to be allowed to block road access to properties inside the reservation now owned by non-tribal members. Essentially, the reservation land, like many others around the country, resembles a checkerboard. Because for a time in the late 19th and early 20th century, the U.S. government monkeyed around with tribal territory, saying that instead of belonging to a tribe as a whole, it had to be cut up into parcels, and that if any individual tribal members decided to sell their parcel to a non-Indian, well, it was no longer tribal land. So in the Lac des Flambeaux Reservation, you have dozens of parcels that belong to non-Indians. But to get to their properties, they have to cross tribal land, of course. Well, when developers built roads to some of those houses in the 1960s, they received tribal permission for the roads, known as easements. In most cases, the easements were not timeless. They had expiration dates. And now that the easement permissions have expired after, you know, so many years, the tribe wanted to negotiate new easements that came with payments to continue having that permission to cross tribal lands. Negotiations broke down with the adjoining non-tribal town of Lac des Flambeaux, and the tribe put up barricades 2.5 years ago for a few weeks. Eventually, a temporary deal had the town making payments to the tribe, and the barricades came down. Now, finally, the court case has been decided, and federal judge William Conley put out a 47-page ruling that said, in so many words, those easements don't really mean anything anymore. Once those roads were built and became public roads, non-tribal members get to use them to go to their properties. Now, this is just my evaluation after reading through the decision. It just seems like another of many cases where indigenous people were told one thing, and then the fine print came back to bite them later on. A statement by the tribe says, in part, this decision overlooks key elements of federal law that protect tribal lands and the tribe's inherent sovereign authority to control access to its reservation. Is that it? Probably not. The case has been watched all over as a candidate for the U.S. Supreme Court, since this ruling could have impacts on easements for tribal lands nationwide. So maybe there are still enforceable easements. Maybe they're just a mirage, able to be cast aside in the time it takes for a judge to bang their gavel. So what do you think? When I say it's easements, schmeasements, is that about right? Or is this something that is just a gross mischaracterization of the opinion? If only we had a good attorney to talk to. Here's a good attorney now, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, who joins us a bit early for our week in review and has had to listen to Amateur Hour from somebody who did not attend law school but has read a few court decisions in his day. Jim Santel, good morning. Give me your grade, Professor Santel, if I were one of your law school students.
I give you a solid A in terms of not only the setup and the historical precedent for all of this, and now the result issued by, again, his name is Judge William Conley. He is a longstanding judge, a federal judge located in Madison, which is the Western District, and therefore there's jurisdiction with respect to these tribal cases. And in the end, he finds, as you accurately noted, that neither the United States, again, interesting, the United States here, as we often did in the past, supported tribal rights. And so we come down on the side of the tribe here. Neither tribe nor the United States, he says, have attempted to impose reasonable restrictions on the homeowners' access to these properties. In other words, he's talking also and raising the option, perhaps, that with more reasonableness, there may be some options here still. He says, instead, to date, the tribe has attempted to block access altogether and demanded that the town pay an exorbitant monthly fee to keep those roads open, or a one-time $20 million fee for permanent access. Accordingly, the court concludes the town and the homeowners have an implied easement to use and access of the roads to reach their properties. Again, 47 pages, an awful lot of legality there. Along the way, we're also talking about something called the Indian Right of Way Act. And a lot of this has to do with the interpretation of that. I think you step back, as you are doing this morning, Pat, appropriately, and know, number one, that this is one of those situations. A 47-page opinion certainly reflects that there are reasonable arguments to be made here, right, in the opposite direction. And he wrestles with those. He comes down on the side of the homeowners and not on the side of the United States, most importantly, not on the side of the tribe. The larger issue is just this matter of sovereignty.
Right.
And that's what we go to.
And I'm not finding fault with the judge necessarily. I'm just saying the nature of the law, the way that he interpreted
exactly,
it, certainly does have that, shall we say, bias toward locking in place the checkerboard situation that was put in place by the Dawes Act and by the treaty that the Lac des Flambeaux signed back in something like 1854. All right, Jim will be back to talk with our Week in Review panel. A local break is next for some of you, but first, really quickly, it is Free Ticket Friday, and if you're looking for tickets to the Brewers game next Wednesday afternoon with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Well, text us the word ground, G-R-O-U-N-D, ground, and you can be part of a statewide drawing for tickets as part of Free Ticket Friday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A legal challenge against the Line 5 oil pipeline is set to begin August 12th in Ashland. Canadian oil giant Enbridge wants to trench and blast across northern Wisconsin to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline. Environmental groups and the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa are challenging permits and other approvals for the project issued by the DNR. Environmental groups across Wisconsin are calling on the state's congressional representatives not to support a bill that would weaken the Clean Water Act. The so-called Permit Act would, among other harms, allow polluters to release PFAS forever chemicals into waterways without telling state officials, allow massive amounts of pesticides to be released into waterways, and fast-track projects that destroy wetlands and streams. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app with Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
We will, of course, have more with you as we continue along the pathway here today. But also, it's the first week of the month, and as I like to say, it's time to pay the rent, and it's time to talk to Christine Daniels from the Good News Project. Christine, always good to see you.
Good morning, sunshine. That's how I greet my children in the morning. Good morning, sunshine.
And do they still appreciate it? Or they?
They do. Okay, good, they good. Do.
Fantastic. It's always good to talk to you, talk about what's going on at the Good News Project and a whole bunch more. And I was just saying before we went on the air, this week we've been very fortunate. On Monday, had a chance to talk to a young lady who is in Athens doing a back-to-school drive to get
awesome
new notebooks and other things for needy folks in Marathon County. On Tuesday, talked about a special scholarship at Wausau East for a fallen comrade who was a student and a staff member who passed away from cancer last year, and a former colleague and coach of hers starting a scholarship where there's been a lot of great response. And you do it every day with the Good News Project. And of course, we always say, be the good.
Be the good.
And the thing about it is, we've talked a lot about what you're doing and a lot of the challenges that you've had and everything else.
We haven't really delved into the folks that are also there that are doing the good, being the good.
Yeah.
And you got a few people, I think, that I wanted to find out because I frankly don't really know a lot about some of the folks that are working with you. How big of a staff do you have at Good News Project?
Yeah, so we have 4 full-time people and 5 part-timers. And that has grown significantly in the last 3 years. Before our capital campaign, we had 3 full-timers.
A lot of work.
Yeah, we really have had to bulk up our staff. But there's been a lot of wonderful things that have happened in doing so. You know, you bring a lot of talent and knowledge to the table when you add more people.
And you gave me a little information, and there's a mixture of those who've been with you at your side for a long time and the others who've been there a shorter amount of time, but all bringing a lot of great pieces to the table, a lot of skills to the table. And the first one that you kind of listed was a long-time person. And I imagine that in a job like yours, where there's probably a lot, every day you walk in and on that desk, there's a lot you have to deal with, a lot on the plate.
Yes.
To have somebody that's been around and knows the lay of the land. And Tony Schmidt was somebody you said.
Can
you tell us a little bit about her?
Tony is my right-hand woman. I've known Tony for a couple decades now, and she actually started with Good News Project as a board member. So we kind of tease about this because that means she was my boss first. When we got to a point where we were starting our help program, we needed to hire someone to manage it, and she decided that'd be something really, really interesting for her. So right around the time she was retiring from owning a small business, Tony's Salon and Spa, which was a very successful business.
I even heard of that.
You remember that?
Yeah,
it was in an old house downtown Wausau, kind of right now where the YMCA parking lot is.
Okay.
So it was ultimately removed. But she brought and continues to bring these skills to the table of, you know, running a small business and all of the moving parts. And, you know, she had staff members and managed customers, all of that. So, yeah, she's phenomenal. She's also a very good friend. She has become a very good friend through all of these years.
It must be just, again, priceless to have somebody that has a sense of what you do as well. I mean, because sometimes you bring people in and they have to go through the ranks and have to learn every level. But to have somebody that actually has an understanding of some of the challenges that you have to face on a daily, monthly, yearly basis.
Yeah, yeah. So our co-founder, Peggy McCarthy, recruited her because Peggy used to sit in Tony's salon chair. And that's how it all starts. That's how they always start, isn't it? Just a little conversation. And she's like, oh, you should join us. Oh, we need a board member. You'd be good. That kind of thing. And then, you know, when she, right around the time that she was finishing her board membership and becoming an employee, she dipped into becoming a trip leader in St. Lucia under the tutelage of Peg and Chuck McCarthy. So she learned from the best. And so she has a really interesting viewpoint of all of our programming. You know, although she manages the help program, she knows international. She knows the people, the players, what we do and why we do it, and how to manage volunteers in a country thousands of miles away. And she also has been integral in our eCycle program. Just bringing, you know, the right questions to the table, like, you know, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And her husband has volunteered significantly for our eCycle program throughout the last 15-ish years. So
volunteer is a word that as well, because another person that you've kind of highlighted here for me to think about and we can talk about is Eric Nielsen, started as a volunteer. And
he
I imagine
did.
That a lot of the folks that have worked for you in your tenure at Good News, that's where
a lot of people come to us. They start as volunteers. We get to understand who they are, what their motivations are, what their skills are, and then it becomes kind of a natural stepping stone into employment. So we have quite a few people that that's how they are with us as employees right now. Eric, so he started as a volunteer, and then during COVID, we had a full-time, stepped in to do e-cycling basic management. And then when he had to leave, he said, I think you need to consider Eric Nielsen. And so we put the job out there, and I specifically asked Eric to apply, and you know, he went through the interview process, and he embraced the program. Our warehouse is the neatest it's ever been. He's organized, he's efficient, he thinks of all of the details, he does a tremendous amount of research, and his volunteers love picking on him.
We'll have more with Christine Daniels coming up at 7:52. More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, the threatened tariffs are in place. Are they disrupting any of our agriculture markets? I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. I will tell you, an overnight electronic trade this morning, our commodities look like they're holding firm, but that could change. Jenny Wackershauser, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, says keep an eye on Mexico.
Our friends in Mexico continue to be our biggest trading partner, and our exports on cheese into Mexico for that month were up 14% year over year. That is our highest month ever for cheese exports. It is the last 4 months are four of the top five. So that's, again, year to date, we're blowing it out of the water as far as cheese exports go. Butter also a record month on the butter side as far as volume is going. We exported 14.1 million pounds, which is twice what we exported for butter a year ago.
Jenny Wackershauser, a dairy analyst with EverAg out of Platteville, making a case on why Mexico is such a critical trade partner, especially for U.S. dairy. On Thursday in Chicago, barrel cheese did gain a half a cent to 179.5. 40-pound block cheese on Thursday closed 2.5 cents higher at 182.5, while the AA butter dropped 3 to 240 a pound. What's happening with the rest of the markets? I've got those numbers next.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine GoldLight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine GoldLight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine GoldLight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Overnight in Chicago right now, it looks like we've got our new crop corn currently sitting at a penny stronger, 408 a bushel. November soybeans are up 2.25 at 996. The wheat for September is up 2 at 520. December wheat up 2 at 541. Currently, the September Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, a penny stronger at 1875. October milk down 3 right now at 1871 a hundredweight. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny, hot, and humid today. We'll get to right around 90 for a high, but that heat index is going to be in the upper 90s and some places into the triple digits. Tonight, a few scattered thunderstorms, lows in the low to mid-70s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the upper 80s to low 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why? Why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
While I'm off taking in the best Wisconsin Northwoods has to offer, enjoy highlights from recent shows, and don't miss your chance to win tickets to see the Red Hot Brewers with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey, you can follow me on social media. Head over to facebook.com/morningswithpatcreitlow. And not only can you see the show live there as we stream it on Facebook, but we also add occasional posts about things that are in the news or maybe discussions that you missed earlier. For example, I had Trygve Olsen on just yesterday morning. Trygve has worked with fledgling democracies around the world, and now he's trying to save democracy here in the United States. And so if you don't have time to go back and listen to the show or watch the video of it, we've got a post up on my Facebook page, just a text post that talks about what we discussed and where we invite you to chime in with your thoughts as well. So again, head over to Facebook and look for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Our Week in Review panel is here. Jennifer Scholze, Mark Jacob, and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, all with us on this Friday morning. Just another day in Trump's America where just when you were done hearing about troops being sent to Los Angeles for no particular good reason, Jennifer, it appears the troops need somewhere else to go. So Washington, D.C. is going to be the next blue city of under Trump occupation is the way it seems to look here.
Yes, one of the top Doge workers, one of those almost teenagers, claims he was mugged in Washington, D.C. earlier this week. Elon Musk posted about it on social media. Trump got into it, and suddenly the right wing was agog at crime in D.C., which is actually at a 30-year low. Last night, Trump announced that he was sending federal troops into Washington as early as today to patrol tourist venues and the like. I think it's obviously just a show of force, and you know, one possible event is not a reason to turn a city into an armed fortress. But there we are.
Oh, but it is ample reason, Mark Jacob. I mean, you only need the one thing there, and I think where I want to go with this is how this is reported, because you know, in the Wisconsin version of it, you had 20 lawmakers, 20 legislators, sending a letter to the mayor of Milwaukee saying you need to do something about crime in your city because there had recently been one high-profile shooting. And, you know, what's the mayor supposed to do other than say crime is down in our city? And it really, it's incumbent upon newsrooms to put some perspective on a letter like that when legislators are playing the quote-unquote Milwaukee card.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important for people to understand that crime is dramatically down in the United States over the last 30 years. It's way lower than it was in the 1990s. This is a good news story. This is policies and people doing good things so that crime is down. But the interesting thing, Pat, was that when they did a public opinion surveys over the last 30 years, almost always people would say crime is up. But the statistics show it's way down. So it's one of those things where it's really easy to for people to get false impressions. And then you have, you know, people like Fox News and other kind of propaganda services, you know, demagoguing the issue so that they don't want to get to the truth. They just want to, you know, use excuses to try to increase government power. And again, here I am talking about the Republicans who always were talking about government being on our necks, wanting to increase government power, because that's what's going on right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, in every way, shape, or form, whether it's, you know, sending the military into a city, or as we discussed last hour, having the Corps of Engineers raise a river level so that J.D. Vance can go kayaking on it. I mean, you know, small government only for thee, but not for me. And Mark, you remind me, I don't have it in front of me here, but I mean, one of the most telling graphics of the 2024 election was when respondents were asked like six different questions. It was five or six questions like that. Is crime down or up? You know, is immigration, you know, down or up? And consistently, the people who answered all of them wrong, who got wrong, these are factual questions. There's a correct yes or no. And the ones who went 0 for 6 overwhelmingly voted for Trump because, Jennifer, that's the narrative that they get from their choice in quote-unquote news.
Right. If you watch Fox News, oh, gosh, I had a promised myself I would never call it Fox News. I would call it Fox Cable. Fox Cable. If you watch that, you do not know what's going on. Right now, you think the biggest story in the world is the Sydney Sweeney jeans ad. Yeah. And you think that crime is up, prices are down, Trump is great. And it's really done a terrible disservice to this country to just share so many lies so frequently with so many people.
Well, and it's funny, they loved the tabloid story of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. They loved it until Trump went about face on it, and suddenly they're pretending the story never existed. Meanwhile, you know, in traditional media, you're seeing Jim Santel, you're seeing Ghislaine Maxwell being transferred to a lower security prison, which, near as I can see, is amazingly unprecedented for somebody who doesn't seem to have done anything to deserve that, given the horrific things she did to children.
Two observations exactly along those lines. Number one, this is a violent crime. And again, I call upon everyone, including the media, to reinforce that notion. This is, yes, it's about sex, but it's about power and it's about violence. The human trafficking, the sex trafficking in which she, and very likely the principal defendant who did commit suicide in prison here, they engaged in violent crime. So what is the consequence of that? Inside the Bureau of Prisons, it is an entity of the U.S. Department of Justice, where once again, people who know what they're doing up until now have had the capacity to make assessments of incoming convicts, incoming defendants, and make a determination about the security level of the facility to which they should be assigned. She is high violence, high security defendant, and she should remain there in Tallahassee. Instead, leapfrogging over all sorts of internal, I know it sounds wonky, but regulations that are there for a reason to protect the American public and also, frankly, to protect the very lives and livelihood of the people who are in those prisons. She is sent over to Texas at what is, again, euphemistically called a camp, where, again, there are low gates and things around the perimeter. And it is unjustifiable in terms of not only the standards, the precedent. If I were a criminal defense attorney in America today, and I was representing a violent criminal in that category, and that person was going off to a high security prison, I would file a motion with the federal district court judge, wherever that is, and say, obviously, the Bureau of Prisons has changed its standards. I want the same deal. And that's also the impact of this beyond just this inappropriate, indefensible designation.
Mark, should I be half empty or half full my glass on the Epstein case in terms of the impact on Trump? Because when he flipped and suddenly it became a hoax and we learned that his name had come up in some fashion in the files, once again, like so many other times, it feels like just when he's going to face accountability, the American attention span moves. And Speaker Mike Johnson sent Congress home early on their recess. And so here's the half empty, half full. Has Trump again, you know, slipped accountability for whatever misdeeds he created, or did he simply put a pin in it? And when Congress comes back, those members of Congress are going to be as vocal as ever about releasing all of the files, and we'll be hearing about this all over again.
I think this is an exception to everything else. You know, I mean, he's gotten away with so much horrible conduct, but this one seems to, for some reason, and I'm not sure exactly why, but for some reason, this seems to be sticking. I mean, it's been a month, right? You know, since the latest thing where, you know, Pam Bondi you know, announced that it was all sitting on her desk and she was just going to review it and release it. And then they decided, well, no, there are actually no, there's no Epstein list. You know, we're going to have to, you know, we're not going to release anything more, which is, I mean, and that outraged the right as well as the, you know, the left and just all decent people who don't want, you know, children molested and then it be to be covered up by our government. You know, so I think it's sticking. I mean, and there are ways we can help it continue to stick as a tough issue. I mean, I don't even call it the recess anymore. I call it the Epstein recess. This is Congress on an Epstein recess. And, you know, because they fled town to avoid voting on whether to release records that may show that powerful people were involved in child sex trafficking. That's what's going on. And decent people don't do that. Mike Johnson does it because he's not a decent person.
So we look at this recess, Jennifer, and how it gets covered. And on the one hand, you could see that it's going to be one of the busiest recesses ever, as, you know, when there's the occasional town hall like Flood in Nebraska, like Stile in Wisconsin. And as more people learn what's in, you know, the Trump mega bill, they want to speak up. They don't like it. As more people kind of see through the noise on the Epstein files, they don't like it. And yet, I know, because I've already seen this, if a member of Congress comes home for recess and, you know, tours a farm, the coverage is all about the congressman who came home and did a farm tour. So if you were running a newsroom in one of these districts and it's the August recess, how do you make sure that your coverage is relevant to, you know, the country's priorities and the viewers' values?
I was one of those reporters in one of those rural districts when the congressperson came home, and we were very excited when we got invited to go to a farm tour or a press conference because it was something out of the ordinary and it seemed really important. And I don't want to disparage in any way any local journalists anywhere right now, because I think most of them are doing a hell of a job. But I will say there's enormous pressure for younger, inexperienced journalists who get a chance to interview a congressperson. Oh my gosh. And to call them out, to ask them hard questions is not something that, if you haven't done it before and it's your first job and you're 21 years old, I think it's hard. I know it was hard for me. I got an opportunity to do one of those with the then Vice President of the United States. And he just rolled right over me with every question I asked him. So I think it's hard. That said, a lot of these folks, because these town halls and some of these things are so contentious, there's a lot more experienced reporters. And I do think experience matters in this case, where they, you know what, just ask the darn question. But you're right. That's what politicians do. They know that they're going to walk through a farm field with a friendly crowd, and they're doing it intentionally that way so that they get the pretty pictures and no hard questions.
And what they can, if they get the hard questions, and I know you put up one recently with Congresswoman Nancy Mace, but we've certainly seen it with Derek Van Orden. If they don't like the question, Jennifer, well, now they just have this angry outburst at the person, which used to, you know, kill your reputation, but now it burnishes your reputation if you yell at a local reporter.
Well, you know what? I think it does and it doesn't, right? I mean, if you're a Fox News viewer, you're like, yeah, get him, because Trump has convinced you and Fox has helped that the press is the bad, they're the bad guys. But what we're seeing, especially in a lot of these recent town halls, but think back to the town halls, you know, and before that, regular people who aren't in the Fox bubble, they kind of get it. And so when they see Nancy Mace, as she did yesterday, go after that reporter for saying, how can you say you're for this when you voted against it? How can you take credit for it? And Nancy Mace starts just railing on her. If you're not in the Fox bubble, I think you see that and you're like, ugh.
Exactly. Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob and Jim Santel, our Week in Review panel with us. And again, for Free Ticket Friday, the word is ground, G-R-O-U-N-D. Text that through the Civic Media app. A local update is next for some of you folks here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake,
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. The time is 7:52. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh talking to Christine Daniels from the Good News Project as we do every first week of the month. Somebody who had come in here with you one time was Ruling Gardner.
Yeah.
You have her as somebody who really deserves a shout out in terms of what she does for you.
For sure. Rolene is our volunteer coordinator, and we were able to hire her. So originally she was a volunteer with us.
There you go.
Yeah, for maybe a half of a year or so. And then we wrote a grant to the Impact 100, and part of that was securing a volunteer coordinator to help us. And we hired her, and she has made our organization blossom in so many ways. And most of it's because of the volunteer care that she creates. And previous to her, we all were managing volunteers in our own programs. I was managing some office volunteers, and Tony was managing her help program. And this way it's centralized, and she can create little open houses and ways to connect with volunteers, highlighting them, creating a program where you volunteer a certain amount of hours, and that translates to dollars for merchandise, like Good News Project logoed stuff. So yeah, she's done a tremendous job, and her background is being an executive director of a nonprofit. So right. she knows what's going on.
Incredible knowledge to be able to have. Just can't imagine then again that the amount of help that somebody that the ideas that sometimes I'll get an idea for something. Oh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that. I imagine that it's like, hey, You probably say, I didn't think of that, you know?
All the time, yeah. And I really love bouncing ideas off of her, and she helps kind of keep me on target with certain things. She'll be like, hey, you know, we had talked about this. Where's this at? And I feel like we work really well together.
Another lady involved, Jacqueline Denke.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about her and what
Jacqueline is fabulous. She came to us... you know, as Tony was hired to grow the help program, she did just that to the point to where she needed help. And so we opened up an assistant position for help. I think it was right around 2021. And Jacqueline has filled this position. She has been a CNA in the past. She has worked in manufacturing. She runs a dairy farm. She's a hard worker, and she knows all of the things. So, you know, if Tony's not available, you go to Jacqueline, and and she can basically answer the questions. So,
a guy that you've talked about a lot, I think, in our discussions, Al.
Al,
you keep talking about Al all the time. I mean, you've talked about Al, I think, a handful of times in the past
year.
Al
is a favorite. So... Al also came to us through volunteering. Yeah. He was doing fix-it things and alongside of one of his really good friends. And, you know, he knew we were beginning this program. It was toward the end of our last strategic plan. And this has been a goal of Tony's forever to have a mobile help truck.
Yeah.
And so Al applied for the position and he's been working with us ever since on a part-time basis. But Al's history is so interesting. Like, he has worked for a couple local manufacturing groups and has helped grow their businesses from like 350 employees to over 1,000 employees, and helped manage ways to cut costs and assess different processes. And so this is yet another situation where, you know, I'm the boss, and yet I am learning from Al. Mm-hmm. Al, you know, came to me and said, I think these are some skill sets that I could share with you. And I'm like, yeah, teach me. And it's really exciting. Just to kind of have that flip-flop and to continue to talk about, okay, like, we realize this isn't part of a, you know, a normal employment structure in terms of, you know, quote-unquote, who's in charge or something. But I feel like as long as you keep the open communication and the ideal that you're going to learn from the other person, it's fine, right? Like, yeah. We have all of these pre-established ways of looking at business and running a business and being a good human. And, you know, not all of them are great.
Well, what's the old adage that you really get the most done if nobody cares who gets the credit?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It's so true.
And you got a few folks that are either interns or just, you know, folks that are there to help. But boy, the impact is probably greater than you can imagine for people that just come in and fill some gaps and do some really good work.
Yes, for sure. So we have Sheila and we have Adrian and we have Megan, and they all work part-time. But if we didn't have these three people, there would be a significant hole in our operation. Mm. So it's very important to, you know, to point them out in the work that they do. They're helping with our health equipment lending program, customer service, and they're the ones speaking with customers who need things. They're asking, you know, what do you need? Have you thought about toileting? Have you thought about mobility? How much do you weigh? All of that stuff that helps us fit equipment to people. And I think I told you before that Adrian and Megan are my comic relief. Like, even this morning, Adrian's like, I can't log in. I guess it must be a sign I shouldn't be at work today. And like, but Adrian, you did this yesterday too. we got you logged in ultimately, but she's a hoot.
I mean, again, it's just wonderful to hear about people that are positive influences. It can be within a company, a corporation, within a group like Good News. It's just wonderful to hear again. We hear so much about those who are, I think, pushing back in the wrong direction, but there's still a lot of people that are grabbing hands and pulling forward in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I feel like we're all very aware of one another's I don't know, like where we're at, you know, like right. Yesterday, one of the employees came in and said, you seem off to me. Are you okay? And just that someone paused enough to see that maybe there was something on my face or maybe there was a certain way I was acting or responding. And mm-hmm. I got a hug out of it. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know, I needed that. I appreciated that because someone paid attention. And I love that. Everyone's aware. And it's not just our employees. Our volunteers are very much aware, too. And we treat one another as equals in all circumstances. And it works best that way.
Christine Daniels joins us the first week of every month. And again, thank you very much.
Yeah, and thanks for having me
success.
Again. Thank you.
We're going to take a time out and be back with more here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Both Balls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. It'll be another dry, hot day north of L.A. where a new wildfire has torn through almost 1,000 acres in a single day. Thousands of people have been forced from their homes, others in wait-and-see mode.
We have all the animals in the car, important documents, and we're ready if we got to go.
Scary, that's for sure, you know, but I'm going to try to stay as long as I can to protect my home.
Israel's cabinet has approved a plan for the IDF to take control of Gaza City. CBS's Deborah Pata has reaction.
Civilians, they say there is nothing left to occupy. They're already dying 100,000 deaths every day and that the offensive won't kill Hamas, but women and children.
Today is President Trump's deadline for a Russia-Ukraine ceasefire, but there's no word of a deal. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
In a flash, we've gone from talking about American ultimatums and deadlines to let's have a summit. And this, Vladimir Putin will consider already a diplomatic victory.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.